Well, I'm not going to speak long tonight, Lord willing. I say that a lot, you know, but that doesn't always. Sometimes plans blow up in your face. I mean, what are you going to do? I probably ought to get rid of my gum. Well, open your Bibles to a few passages this evening. Let's start in Luke chapter 10. I got a little outline I'm going to give you. It's out of this book. It's called Drawing the Net. I don't know if anybody, I know Bill's got this. I had this when I went to college, so we bought these when we were in school. Though this thing is old. But it's about evangelism, and there's a lot of good outlines in here on how to soul win and how to evangelize and all of that stuff. And I want to begin to share a little bit about that tonight. I have said this before, might as well say it again, that I think one of the weak links in our church is evangelism. I think there ought to be more people out on organized church evangelism times. I just think that. Now, I know we're busy, so we're going to introduce something to the church tonight that I think will help you in get out there. Some of you, I don't know how to say this kindly, some of you are intimidated to go witness to people. You are afraid of rejection, you're afraid of failure, you're afraid of, I don't know what else you're afraid of, you're just afraid of people, maybe you're afraid of big dogs. You know, some doors do have a big dog, and when you hear him bark, you just put your foot up against the screen door and hope that it does the job. So yesterday, Jamie was my door knocking partner yesterday, and this lady, you know, sometimes the glass or the sun and you can't see through the windows that good. So this lady comes, and she's holding her hand like this. So I know she had a dog, and she wouldn't open the door, but she was cordial, and we were talking. And I said, what kind of dog you got there? She said, that's a pit bull. I'm thinking, well, you just keep that door shut. That'll be fine. But people, in seriousness, though, people sometimes feel intimidated to share their faith. And so I want to begin to give you people something that are afraid. I said some of this yesterday during before we went out door knocking. I don't know how many people we had go out door knocking. I did the survey, by the way. I told you guys I would try it. I did it about five times, and I had one prospect that I believe is a good prospect, but you never know till you go back the second time, or that we learned then a lot of times. And two people that I surveyed, they were already believers. One person could have cared less about anything. He did the religious survey that I did with him, but when he got down to the last question, he could have cared less. But that's fine. Then I'm not going to call back there. We still leave a gospel track and a packet every place we go. But I want you to look there at Luke chapter 10, and I want you to notice in verse number 1, it says this. And these things the Lord appointed other 70 also. And he sent them two by two and two before the faiths into every city and place whither he himself would come. So he sent people out. These other 70 also were sent out by the Lord two by two to prepare people for Jesus. Now, in a sense, that's exactly what we're trying to do. We can't save anybody. You can't save anybody. I can't save anybody. I can help point somebody to Jesus, but I can't save anybody, and neither can you. But we go out there and we share the gospel with them to point them to Jesus. That's what we're trying to do. Now, why do we do outreach? Why do we do evangelism? Because we want to reach more souls for Jesus. And there are unchurched families out there that there is a few people that have moved into Rome, in case you're wondering, all right? I know it's not that many. But there are some people sometimes that are new to our community, and some of them are looking for a church. The more doors we knock, the more people we have out doing evangelism work and door knocking, the higher our chances are to come across some of those people. We have done this in the past. We've got a list of everybody that moves in Rome, New York, and moves into Rome. The problem is that list includes those that move from North James Street to South James Street, or from this side of the Black River Boulevard to the other side of Black River Boulevard, and you get a list this long, and it's just people, the same people that are just moving around all over the town. So that really wasn't very helpful, quite honestly. But we want to win more people, and we want to reach more unchurched families for the Lord. Now, what I'll share with you in just a few moments is a little bit different than what we've done and what I've taught before. But if you're comfortable with the way you do evangelism work, by all means, keep doing it. But some of you aren't doing it at all. One way you're comfortable and the other way you're not comfortable. But either way, you're not doing either way. So I want to try to encourage you or give you something to do some evangelism work. But let me just say this first, and this is out of that book I showed you. Let me give you a few reasons to motivate you from, I forgot who wrote this thing. Buddy Murphy. I'll tell you how old it is, if I can find it real quick. Let's see. It doesn't say. Oh, 1969. But I'm still older than that book, all right? So it's modern. Number one, when we win souls, you know what we do? We glorify God. We glorify the Lord. There's something else that goes along with that. The Bible says something happens in heaven over one sinner who repents. And what is it? The angels are rejoicing. You know why the angels are rejoicing? Because heaven is happy to see sinners saved. And so we glorify the Lord when we win people to Christ. Now, you might not win somebody to Christ, but you might be the first person that plants a seed there that God will use to ultimately, somewhere down the road, save that sinner. You can't go, let me just say, you can't go wrong witnessing to people. You can never go wrong passing out a gospel tract or handing out a John and Romans. You just can't go wrong. Okay, there's some things that you can do, maybe a little better, but you're not going to do it wrong. So don't let that fear bother you. Let me give you a second reason. When we win souls, we rescue sinners from hell. I do hope you realize that when somebody dies without Jesus, they do go to hell. That's where they end up. Now, I would like to think that you'd never want to see anybody end up in hell, no matter who that might be. But you say, well, there's somebody I really don't like. Yeah, but you know what? If they got saved, God would change the way they're thinking. You might just like them after that. Do you ever think of that? So when we win somebody, we are rescuing sinners from hell. Then I'll tell you something else, and you probably know this already. But when we see souls saved, doesn't it encourage other Christians? Did you ever notice, okay, last Sunday or the Sunday before, I guess maybe it was the Sunday before, whenever it was, we baptized four people, and three of them joined the church. Isn't that a blessing to see people baptized? And then Josiah got baptized and he got saved and baptized. Wasn't that a blessing? Isn't it just wonderful that people see people saved and follow the Lord in believers' baptism and begin their walk with the Lord? I mean, it's just a wonderful thing. And and it encourages other Christians. You know what? I can win souls to Christ. So can you. Then another reason is this. When we win souls, we strengthen the church. Not only do we strengthen the church, we are building the church, Lord willing, but more importantly, we're building the kingdom of God. You could win somebody to Christ on an airplane. You could go on vacation somewhere, witness to somebody, win them to the Lord. You might not ever see them again until you get to heaven. You say, well, Pastor, does everybody you guys lead to the Lord, do they all get saved? Probably not. Probably not. In fact, I'm convinced a large percent of them don't. But that doesn't stop me from witnessing to the best of my ability. I believe that if people have got on their knees and tears come out of their face and said, oh, God, I don't know that person is saved. That's between them and the Lord. But I know what my responsibility is. And my responsibility is to evangelize. And my responsibility is to do outreach. And I would like to see me personally and us as a church collectively win more souls to Jesus and reach more unchurched families. And I'll go a step further. A few years ago, maybe we'll do it again, we handed out a inventory of your spiritual gifts. And some of you took your spiritual gifts and you said, wow, one of my highest gifts is evangelism. Now, if that's your gift, what are you supposed to be doing with your gift? Using it. You ought to use it for the glory of God. For some of you, when you witness to somebody, it'll just flow off your lips. You're gifted in that way. You can just share your faith. You're confident. You're comfortable. It's not a problem. It's just natural. But what if you're not gifted in that area? Should you witness? Yes. Okay, here's one. I don't know what I scored. I can't remember. But let's say I scored zero on mercy. I don't have, my gift is just not mercy. It's just not there. Should I ever extend mercy? Well, if some of you want to say no, that's fine, then I just won't. But should I extend mercy? Yeah. Just because you're not gifted in that area doesn't mean you don't use it and work on it and use it for the glory of God, whatever the Spirit of God allows you to do. So I think, there's some of these things we got to get past. Now, it said Jesus sent them out two by two. Now I want you to go down to verse 2. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Part of the reason that we don't reach more people with the gospel is not enough laborers. The laborers are few. And then it says this, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he should send forth laborers into the harvest. So I pray, there's different areas in this church that I pray for laborers in. Evangelism is always one. Van workers, bus workers, whatever you want to call them, that's another area. And I've begun to pray, and I mentioned this in Sunday school this morning, and I've begun to pray since my 60th birthday that I probably ought to try to find somebody that want to come in here and work with me for 5 or 10 years so I can get them ready to take over the church one of these days, the Lord willing. So you say, well, we still got 10 more years of you. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, you know, listen, you've been here 20 now, so just stick out another 10 and it'll all be good. Did you know that Bill brought this up? I had not thought about this. But the beginning of next year, so the church voted me in as interim pastor sometime at the end of 1999. And I was interim pastor for about 3 months or somewhere. Is that about right, Bill? And then about the beginning of the year 2000, they voted me in as pastor, senior pastor. So I will have been here at the beginning of the year, 20 years as senior pastor here. So you've hung in there this long, man, give it another 10 and it'll all be good, all right? But we just want to see God save more people. Now, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. And you know what I look around here? You know what I see? I see laborers. I see people that ought to be laboring in the harvest field. Now, prayer needs to be offered, and then laborers are sent out. So, I guess the question is, what are we going to do about it? In fact, ask yourself this question. What am I going to do about it? So here's what we do. We already do a lot of what, actually Brother Mungo came up with this. He said you map out an area. Well, we already map out an area. When we go out and door knock, Bill has areas already mapped out. He puts us in those areas. This time he sent me to an area that wasn't that many doors, but the last time you sent me to an area that every house had 2 or 3 doors on it, it was like we knocked doors forever. We had 3 sheets filled out, didn't we, Matt? And it was like, but you don't know that till you get there. But he does have it mapped out. So it's all mapped out so we know where we're going. And systematically, we make our way around the town of Rome. How many times have we been through it? 2.5? So we've been through Rome 2.5 times. You say, well, what are you going to do when you get through it again? Just do it again. And then what? Then just do it again. People do move, and there are some that move in there, and you never know what happened. You know Jessica Tennant, don't you, most of you? She comes with her 2 girls. Well, me and I want to say Drew Marshall's son-in-law was out door knocking. What's his name? It doesn't matter. Anyway, we're out door knocking one day, and so we knocked on the door to his house, and we talked to this young lady, and she goes, well, I was saved when I was younger, but we haven't been in a church. And she began to tell us her testimony. And her family went to church when they was young, and something happened, and her dad got mad, and I don't know, and they got out of church, and she'd been out of church all these years. And we talked, and we invited her to church and all that. 1 year later, this girl comes, remember that? This girl comes through the church. Of course, I asked her the question. I said, well, how'd you find us? And she looks me right in the eye, and she goes, you invited me. And I'm thinking to myself, I did? Well, I even said that. So she said, yeah, about a year ago, you and whatever, Brother Gibbs is his name, came by here. She didn't mention his name, but that's who it was. You guys came by here. You invited me to church. It was about a year ago, but here I am. And today, she heads up our cleaning team in our church. Brother Bill was found door knocking. I think Brother Han found him door knocking. The lady that was saved and baptized, Mary, we found her door knocking. That was a divine appointment of the Lord because she was at a house that she doesn't even live at, but she happened to be there, and she lives over here. But anyway, she got saved and baptized, and she's growing in the Lord, and she even wears T-shirts to say Jesus on them and all. Man, she's witnessing with her T-shirts. So we do that. We map out an area, and then we send out groups of two, sometimes three, but usually two, and we supply you with all the materials that you'll need. All you need is a clipboard, one with surveys on it, one with a not home and a home thing to keep track of people. You'll be given these sheets, and the team will be given a supply of bags. Inside the bags are John and Romans. There's church gospel tracts. There's RU information. There's information on our children's ministry. There's an invitation to the church, and the ones we did yesterday had a cantata flyer in them as well. So we give out that material. So you come and get your supplies, and you go out. Now, what I'm going to share with you here in just a moment is that why would we do it this way? Because some of you lack confidence in presenting the gospel. And the more you go out, it'll build your confidence, and then you'll get to a place where you'll be comfortable sharing your faith and witnessing the people. Now, this Brother Mungle believes, and the churches that he's shared it with and the churches that are doing it and working it, say they find it more effective than just cold turkey door knocking for this for these reasons I'm going to give you in just a minute. His ministry is Firm Foundations Ministry, and he believes it's better than just trying to do everything at one business, one shot, because people are just busy today. Now, Jamie and I went up to a door, and a guy was hanging Christmas lights on his front porch. I hung a baggie on his door. He was on a ladder. I wasn't going to say, hey, you want to come down here for a minute? He's busy. I'm going to respect that. So I hung a bag of material on his door, his front door. And we chit-chatted with him for a few minutes there, and we got on our way. We invited him to cantata. We invited him to church, and we said, read that when you get down off your ladder and have a good day. We probably took 30 seconds of his time. That's all. People are busy. I hate to say it, but the church has a lot of competition today. You know that with the world? There's some people that can't even come to church faithfully because their kids are doing this sport, that sport, the other sport. Then they're involved in this community thing and that community thing and all these other community things. And it just, some of them, I was talking to one of the parents at a swimming meet, and his kids bowl, they swim, they do soccer, they do basketball. I don't know what they don't do. And he's gone, and him and his wife are gone every night of the week chasing their kids all over the place. Sometimes they go that way. I remember when Dan and Darren played hockey together. So one would, on a Saturday, one would have a game out towards Rochester, and the other one would have a game in Albany. And we'd say, well, which way do you want to go today? You know, it's busy with that. Now, that was one sport. Could you imagine if your kid did four or five? And some of them are doing two at the same time. Now, I don't agree with it, but that's where we are. So you're going to get all your material. We're going to send you out, and you're going to do a survey. I hope some of you that have never gone door knocking will at least start doing the survey. First of all, most people will not going to stand at the door long enough for you to present a clear presentation of the gospel so that you can efficiently witness to them and win them to Christ. They're just not going to usually give you that much time because time is important to people. The only thing you can't replace is your time. Statistics show that you only have about 15 seconds with an individual when you go door to door cold turkey. In my experience, that's probably not way off. You say, that's not very much time. No, that's not very much time, 15 seconds. I don't know who did the surveys, but that's what they claim. Secondly, many times they're going to give you an answer to your question that they realize you want in order to get you out of their way. That happens. They know how to regurgitate the right answer. The result of that is there is a lot of false professions are made with that type of door knocking, because it can be too pushy. So we were trained. I shouldn't say we were, but there was some of this. If they open up their screen door, put your foot in it. they can't close it. Don't do that. Plus, that dog might be back there anyway. You don't want that. But don't do that. That's just rude. If they don't want to talk to you, then if you got into the house, that, listen, I'm not making this up. You kind of slide your way over in front of the TV and shut the TV off. Oh, yeah, we were taught all that. Weren't we, Bill? Oh, yeah. Brother Hall, my first pastor, taught us all that stuff. And you get in there, and you begin to witness to them, and you really don't leave without a decision. The problem is, all it is a decision that means nothing. Like that preacher I told you guys about in Sunday school this morning, say this, remember that guy the other day, Chris? Oh, I was not happy. She kept elbowing, that's the one you kept elbowing me with, the brother. Yeah, that guy. And it was easy believism. And you can't force anybody to accept Jesus as their Savior. You just can't. So if they say no, it's no. So don't be too pushy. Then the questions that I'm going to give with you in just a moment that you ask on the survey sheet are not questions which the individual would be embarrassed to answer. They're very simple, straightforward answers. The questions do not put the person on the spot. You're not going to argue with them. If you know they're wrong and you disagree with them, you're not going to tell them that. You're just going to fill out the survey. By the way, you shouldn't do that anyway, even if you don't use the survey. You do your own way. That's fine, but don't argue. And don't be pushy. 90 to 95% of the people surveyed are going to answer 8 simple questions. I was 5 for 5 yesterday. Now, because I wanted to see if it would work. Statistics also show that almost 20% of those surveyed who are lost are being won to Christ. Well, I'd take 20% any day of the week if these are accurate. And many of are coming along and uniting with the church down the road. See, we already disciple people. And we already try to teach them and train them anyway, so that's fine. Fifthly, this program is not only successful in seeing more people saved and brought into the church, but they're given the opportunity to be taught doctrines and church membership responsibilities, which enables the church to keep more people, more of these new people that can be used for the cause of Christ. I will say this. Because we do disciple people, the people we do want win to the Lord, we do keep a high percentage. The problem is we're just not winning enough to the Lord. This program involves our church to be in a position. Now, if we win more people to Christ, and the next public step of obedience is what? Baptism. It puts us in a position to see more people baptized. And that's always exciting for the church. And it provides our church to have properly trained workers when they are needed. So if you're not comfortable sharing the gospel and you fill out the survey and you bring it back to the church, there are those of us that are very comfortable sharing the gospel, and we'll make those callback visits. That I'll promise you, we will make those callbacks. Brother Mungo mentioned that there's a problem with some of the people that have taken this program is they don't make the callbacks. We make the callbacks. We'll make the callbacks. Some of you that are very comfortable sharing the gospel, you'll have the privilege to make some of these callbacks. I'll tell you this. This maybe will encourage some of you. If I know somebody is this close to getting saved, usually I send somebody else other than myself. You know why? It encouraged them when they come back, they led a soul to Christ. There was one lady that she's called soul winning every week, and I'd have a lady that was like, but this lady is this close to getting saved. And I'd say, why don't you go see her? It was a Tuesday morning. We had ladies' visitation at Tuesday morning. Maybe we can start that up again. But she'd go out, and she'd come back, Pastor, they got saved. And she was excited, man. I mean excited. And I was too. It doesn't matter to me if I win them to the Lord or you win them to the Lord. I don't care who wins somebody to the Lord. We're building the kingdom of God, man. That's what we're trying to do. So it provides our church to have properly trained workers, and we'll train you in that as well. Now, here's the simple survey. I'll show you how it works. Come here, Brother Bill. Then I'm going to have Chris come up. And Melissa, where's Melissa, in the nursery? I told her the other day I might call her up. So it's just simple. You can say anything you want to say. I don't care what you say. Because when you go door knocking, I don't know what he's going to say. You didn't know I was going to call you up, did you? Because you don't know when you go door knocking what the person's going to say or how they're going to respond. Now, my wife just got a warning, so she knows. So she's probably thinking up something wild. I hope she is. It'd be fun. But so you walk up, you knock on the door. Ow. That's my bad finger. I don't want to knock twice.
Yes, may I help you?
Yeah, I'm Pastor Carpenter from Friendship Baptist. It's my daughter, Jamie, and we're doing a religious survey, and we'd like to ask you 8 simple questions. What age group are you in?
40.
Okay. Are you a member of a church?
No.
All right. And were you ever in a church when you were even a child?
Oh, yeah.
What was that? Okay. Now, you see what he just said? That's pretty normal. That's almost normal. We were all over. Okay, good. So how often did you attend when you did attend?
Every week, 2 weeks or so.
Okay, a few times a year. What do you believe you have to do to get to heaven? Now, I'm tempted to say, you're going to fry like a sausage, so I've...
keep drinking that juice.
Okay. So you mean communion?
Yes.
Oh. I'm going to say this. I already know the answer. Who taught you this?
The church, the priest.
Okay. Now, do you know today, if you were to die today, that you would go to heaven?
Probably not.
Okay. If you could know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are going to heaven, would you like to know?
I think I would.
All right, that's wonderful. Now, you could stop right there. You don't have to go any further. But you would do this. You have a packet, and you say, listen, I thank you for your time. Here's some information about our church. You have a great day. And I've already asked him what his first name was, and I've noticed the address on the house, and so I've got all that information. So if you check, he would like to know that. When you bring that back to the church, what do you think that is? That's a prospect. We call back on him. Now, myself, but again, I am not pushing this on you. I would say, do you have a few minutes that I could show you from the Bible right now? If he says no, that's fine. Catch you next time. Have a good day. Goodbye. I wouldn't ask him two or three times that question. Did you notice, go ahead, sit down, Bill, thanks. Did you notice I didn't say, can I ask you a few questions? Because I didn't give him a chance to say no. If he doesn't want to, he's going to tell me no. I'll ask him, okay, one guy yesterday, I asked him the first question. He was in his early 20s. And he said, what is this? I said, it's a religious survey. Oh, okay, I'll do that. So I asked him all those questions, and I'll give you kind of what he said. He was in his 20s. Are you a member of a church? No, my fiance is. What church? I don't know. How often do you attend services? Once or twice a year. What do you believe gets you to heaven? I don't know. Didn't your parents ever teach you anything? Nope, nobody ever taught me nothing. Okay. Do you know if you were to die today that you'd go to heaven? Probably not. If you could know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are going to heaven, would you like to know? No, I wouldn't. Okay. That's not an unusual answer either. In fact, that's becoming more and more, Chris, come on up here. And more, say something different than he said, that's all. More and more common, because you're living in an atheistic society. People don't believe the Bible. They've never heard the Bible. You know when that government made a stupid decision and said, let's take Bible out of the public school, and we said, that's just wonderful. They don't even hear the Bible read in school. So now, at least back then, they had a respect for it. Now they don't even have a respect for it. All these things have taken away and taken away and taken away. So I'm going to do the same thing with her, answer some way different. By the way, if somebody wants to be a good contact, that'd be okay, but you don't have to be.
Hello.
Hi, I'm Pastor Carpenter. This is Jamie, and we're from Friendship Baptist Church, and we're doing a religious survey in your area, and we're going to ask you a few questions.
A religious survey?
Yes.
I'm an atheist.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. Would you be interested at all in anything about the Lord?
No, I really don't care about the Lord.
Okay, have a nice day. That's it. I'm moving on. Done. Get back over there. Something new. It doesn't matter. Oh, wait a minute. You can be a mean atheist too, by the way. So, Bill, remember when you were out with Lily? Oh, my goodness. She never wanted to go door knocking again after that one day. It was like I was on one block on the one side, and he was on the other, and I had Jamie, and he had Lily. And it was like, so we go out the next week, and she said, and we're not going back by that house again, are we? No, we're not going back by that house. But if he moves, we might hit him somewhere else, Lily. Anyway.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I'm Pastor Carpenter, and I'm from Friendship Baptist Church. This is my daughter, Lily, and we're conducting a religious community religious survey. That's what it says on top of the paper, a community survey on religion.
Okay, how long is this going to take?
90 seconds.
Okay.
Okay. How old are you? What age? Teens, 20s, 30s, 40s?
That's kind of
personal. Okay. Are you a member of a church?
No, not really.
Okay. Did you ever attend a church? Do you remember which one it was?
I don't know. Some Baptist church.
Okay. How often do you guys attend?
Oh, my mother used to take me all the time.
All right, but you don't attend now?
No.
Nope. So not at all. Okay. What do you believe you have to do to get to heaven?
Well, they used to say you had to believe in Jesus and stuff like that. I don't know. I didn't really get it.
So you really don't know. Okay.
No.
And who taught you that? Okay.
But I didn't really see those people living that kind of life.
Yeah, that's too bad. Parents and pastor. Okay. Do you know what you have to do if you were to die today that you would go to heaven? Would you go to heaven?
Sure, I think I'm going to go to heaven.
Okay, so perhaps you said, okay. If you could know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you are going to heaven, would you like to know?
Sure, but I'm kind of tied up right now. I got heading out to work.
All right, well, I thank you for your time. Here's a packet, and we'll catch you again next time, okay?
All right.
Thank you.
All right.
I didn't push her. You can't be pushy. You can't force people. I'll use the word religion, but I don't mean that. You can't force Christ onto people. Now, Marty, you want to give it a whirl? You always got something crazy to come up with. This could be scary, I'll tell you right now. I'm just asking 8 simple questions. How long did that take? Did it take 90 seconds? That's all you take, 45 seconds. Time it again. Start with the knock.
Oh, hello.
Hi, how you doing? I'm Pastor Carpenter, and this is Jamie, and we're from Friendship Baptist Church, and we're doing a community survey on religion. We'd like to ask you just a few questions. How old are you, sir? What age group? Are you in your teens or your... I can tell you're not in your teens. Are you in your 20s or your 30s?
20s.
Okay, 20s. Good. Are you a member of a church?
Not presently.
Okay. But you were a member of a church.
Yeah.
What was the name of the church?
Holy Angels Catholic Church in New Hampshire.
Was that really the name of it?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That's a new one. Okay, Catholic. How often do you attend the services there?
Every Sunday.
Every Sunday. What do you believe you have to do to get you to heaven?
You have to be good.
Okay.
That's
so you're thinking you got to work your way in by your good works.
Yeah, well, that's what the priest told them.
Okay. Oh, that was my next question. Who taught you that? The priest?
The priest.
The
yeah.
priest, okay. But do you know that if you were to die today that you would go to heaven?
Well, my good outweighs my bad, so I'd say yeah, I probably.
Probably? Okay, I'm going to check perhaps.
Okay.
If you could know, Marty, I already asked you your first name. If you could know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you could go to heaven when you die, would you like to know?
Yeah, I think that everybody would.
All right, I'm going to check yes. Now, I'm going to ask him, but you don't have to. Do you have a few minutes right now where I can take my Bible and show you how you can go to heaven when you die?
Sure.
All right, so then we're going to sit down and show him. Thank you. That's what you hope to have happen, by the way, but you don't have it. But what if he says... I told you you'd say something crazy. Now, I just want to say anybody can ask anybody those 8 questions. Every person here can do that. There's no reason why. How long, Amanda? 96 seconds, Marty. We were right on it. And anybody can do that. Then you bring these contacts back. That was a good prospect. That was a so-so prospect. The first one, not so much. But anyway... So, and Bill, I can't remember everything Bill said, but we wrote it down so we don't have to remember. So you bring it back to the church. Then some of us that enjoy soul winning and enjoy sharing the gospel and are very comfortable with it, we'll go back and make those callbacks. Now, I don't mean to put you on the spot so you don't have to raise your hand one way or another. How many really think you couldn't do that? Anybody think you can't do that? We'll send you with somebody that can. You can do it. You can do it. Listen. Here's the other thing. You could come. We all need a silent partner. We sent them out, what did it say in verse 1 of Luke 10? They sent them out by 2. So you don't have to talk. If you go with me, I'll talk. I'll do all the talking. It doesn't bother me. There's other people here that will do all the talking. It doesn't bother them. But if a talker shows up and nobody shows up to go with them, it's not best to send people out one. Especially today, it's probably worse. Now, some of you are very comfortable sharing the gospel. Some of you are not. This allows us to build a prospect file so we can make callbacks, and I think we would see some of those people saved. So that's a simple way to present the survey, and it takes, what she said, 96 seconds. Sometimes it'd probably take a little less. Sometimes it may take a little bit more. But I think we can do this. Now, I don't have them. I have them, but I didn't make any copies. Of a little commitment card that would say, I'll go out and do surveys. But I really want you to think about it and pray about it. I think if you pray that prayer, Lord, send forth laborers, I think God will prompt your heart to be one of those laborers to go out. I just can't talk to strangers. Fine. Somebody else can. But I'm going to be honest with you. That's very, very few of you. You know how I know that? Because I've heard you talk. And some of you can keep up with me talking, all right? That's not a problem. But I am serious. We need to see more people saved. We need to witness to more people. We need to give out more gospel tracts and John and Romans. And I got saved through a gospel tract. How many other people here were saved by reading a gospel tract? Anybody? Okay. Amanda? I also came to this church because I found a gospel tract on my front door. God has used tracts in my life. I came home. I was a seeker by then. I had already found the Lord to save. The Lord found me, I should say. The Lord found me and saved me, and I was seeking for a church. Sometimes people are looking for a church, and they don't know where to go. And so we give them an invite, and I don't know how many doors we knocked yesterday. And by the way, it was a little cool. It wasn't as cool as cold as it was the time before I went door knocking. I'll tell you that. It was cold that day. But it was a little chilly. My hands got cold because I didn't have gloves on. But I don't care if you go for 1 hour. I don't care if you do 10 doors or 40 doors. Every door is a soul. Every one of them. That's that many more people. And if you're not witnessing to them with your mouth, you're at least putting a bag on the door, except when you come across Marty. But at least you're putting a bag on the door. And that is a gospel witness in itself. It is. You're giving them a John and Romans. The John and Romans we give you, I guess I should go through that with you, but not tonight. But they're marked. The plan of salvation is all marked in them. Go to this verse, go to this verse, go to this verse, go to this verse. They're all in Romans because that's all you're giving them is a John and Romans. And I just want us to see more people saved. And I'll share this testimony with you, then I'll pray and we'll take an offering. But years ago, my best friend I grew up with was Jim Lipinski. And we're still acquaintances. I had a birthday party the other night, and he was there. And when I say, I've known that guy since I was maybe before 10 years old. We've lived next door. We were best friends. I knew his high school sweetheart, Sue, that they got married and all this stuff. And we saw each other every day. I mean, every day of the week, 7 days a week. I was either at his house or he was at our house. And usually it was a day it was both. I would go up there, then he'd come down there. Sometimes I'd stay at his house overnight. Sometimes he'd stay at our house overnight. He ate more dinners at our house than he ate at his house. I mean, he was always there. And but he was raised in an atheist home. When I went to Bible college, I had witnessed to him before I went, but when I went to Bible college, God gave me a real burden for him. And I sent him a letter, and I knew where he comes from. I know his background. And I know he's lived, okay, I can tell you his sins, but you don't need to know them. But they're there. And he really was raised in an atheist home. Both of his grandparents, grandmother and grandfather, were both atheists. His mom is an atheist. His dad is an atheist. The whole family's atheist. I read him this, wrote him out this, it was almost a sermon, really. It was probably a 5 or 6 page letter on the gospel. I explained everything about the gospel. And then the next time I saw him after that, which when I came home one of those times when I was in college, I got talking to him. He said, well, I believe that there is a God. Now, you know how he knows that there's a God? General revelation. He said that. He said somebody had to put this thing in order. This could have not just happened by Big Bang. So he received God's general revelation. Then he read his letter, the letter that I gave him, and he said, I don't know about all this stuff. The other day, and I've prayed for this guy off and on for 30 years, 40 years, and the other day I got a note from him, and he mentioned God in that note with a capital G. It's the first time ever in my life that I can remember him ever recognizing that there is a real God that he would recognize. So what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to witness to him again. And I'm going to try to witness to him again. And plus, he's exactly my age, but his health is terrible. And I mean terrible. You wouldn't know it to look at him, but he is not a healthy person. He's got this wrong and that wrong and the other thing wrong. And, you know, he's 60 years old, the same as I am. So, but we just keep witnessing to people and trying to win them and trying to win them. We witness and we water, but ultimately, who brings the increase? God brings the increase. We have to do our responsibility, though. So let's do it. Let's just do it. Let's just go win more people to Jesus. Can't we do that? We can do that. Father, I pray that you would burden our hearts for the lost. I pray that people that have never witnessed will take a challenge to go out and ask 8 simple questions to help us do a survey and to build a prospect list so that we can call back on people who seem to be interested, at least, in the things of the Lord. And I pray that some people will commit to that. And I pray that they'll be serious about it. And they'll come out and give an hour, or they'll do 20 doors or 40 doors or whatever. They'll just do something. Lord, I pray that you would break the heart of this church for the souls of mankind. In Jesus' name, amen. So let me say this. After the first of the year, we go door knocking. We'll go door knocking every Saturday morning. But we got the cantata practice next Saturday, and people are busy with Christmas and all that. But after the first of the year, beginning the first Saturday of the new year, here's a New Year's resolution for you. I will go out and do a religious survey Saturday mornings for an hour or 2 hours or whatever, just a little bit of time. You don't even have to have 2 adults. You can be you and one of your children. We take our kids with us quite often, quite honestly. It's a good way to train them and get some used to knocking on doors, except some of those doors aren't so friendly, I know. But that's not the norm. Most people are semi-cordial. Now, you get a miserable person every now and again. You're miserable every now and again, probably, if you want to know the truth, right? But so let me challenge you after the first of the year to come out and to begin to help us with that. All right? Now, we'll see what happens. But I'm really praying that the Lord will break our heart. I've said many times that I think that's our weak link in our church. All right, let me make a few announcements. If you did not get one of these coin things, I really got these for the children.